Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And how about you?
I'm doing great, too. Thanks. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about the upcoming yoga retreat in Costa Rica and how to maximize your efforts. We'll summarize the practices that are designed to initiate the process in development leading to total consciousness. This is week 35 and the final week before the actual retreat. Some important questions to ask yourself: what do you expect to happen? And are you getting the results or are you disappointed? Remember, practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect. So, Swami, start us off. What should we be thinking about?
Well, I think one of the things that could be really valuable is one of the things that Tony always says, you know, is the practice failing me or am I failing the practice? Mm-hmm. You know, like if you think you're doing everything that we're saying and you're still not getting the results, then is it that the practice doesn't work, or is it that I've missed some sort of nuance, some little detail? You know, because communication is just so obscure. And especially when you're talking about something that we don't really have direct experience with. You know, this whole thing of becoming spiritual, connecting to something that's invisible and intangible. It's a very slippery, I want to say, thing to hang on to. So oftentimes, you know, we slip into the astral plane and we think we're spiritual. We're in the realms of visions and thoughts, and we're not getting the result that we want. So the whole key is, you know, to make sure that you're following the instruction to the letter, and not just intellectually, but, you know, experientially. You know, you have to literally feel connected to this life force. So these are important questions that we have to constantly be reviewing and monitoring and troubleshooting, to make sure that, you know, I'm on point.
So if I, or anybody for that matter, just use me as an example. So if I'm feeling negative in anything, regardless of whatever it might be at work, or I get road rage in my car, whatever it might be. So obviously I don't have this connection. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Not at all. You know, I mean, being spiritual doesn't mean that you're no longer human. You know, that we are still going to get angry, we're still going to get frustrated, we're still going to get disappointed. But the difference is that we're not going to be controlled by those feelings. Our feeling state is not, again, it's not the enemy. Your sense of self is not the enemy. And just because, you know, things aren't going the way that I would prefer them to go at work, you know, doesn't mean that I'm not connected to spirit. You know, because what you have is the ability to divide and conquer, is what we've been talking about. You know, that you can actually make a distinction that, you know what, things aren't going the way that I want them at work, but the forces that are really important to me are still intact. That's an important distinction that you make. Now, what happens is that you want to maintain the bias with the forces that are really important to you. so that the things that are happening at work don't become too big and then start to topple your whole sense of self, your sense of well-being. But your connection, just because you have the connection, doesn't mean that, you know, everything's just going to go, you know, wonderful for me and I will just be Pollyanna in my life and, you know, I never have any challenges or difficulties is a misconception about being spiritual. Being spiritual just means you have the benefit of internal support, you have objectivity, and you're able to be more intelligent. Using your mental functions, using your imagination, programming, you know, affecting changes on the internal subjective level to affect changes on the outside world is your biggest ally. But just because, you know, things aren't going the way that I wanted and I'm disappointed doesn't mean that you're not, your practice is failing you. But if you're controlled by those feelings, then the thing you have to look at is, am I connected? Am I still using what I need to produce the feeling that I'm happy?
I was thinking during your explanation that I had read somewhere that the seasons that we have throughout the year are supposed to do something for us. Like we behave certain, you know, certain ways. Like wintertime, for example, is supposed to be the time that we go inward, we go into ourselves. Because we're inside a lot, you know, we're not outdoors. So I was thinking that this time of the year, a lot of people have a depression, maybe because they are inside, they can't go out to the beach or whatever, but they're indoors a lot. And I was wondering, this time of the year can be difficult for some people. They don't like the cold, they, you know, all the snow and what have you. So what are some of the things that they can do to combat that? And I've heard other people taking minerals and whatever to help combat this, so to speak, depression that they feel that they're in, when actually it could just be a sign that they just need to go more inward. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, the seasons and where you are on the planet, you know, is going to have some sort of effect. I mean, just where we're in the Northeast here, you know, I mean, and it's wintertime and the days are shorter and the temperatures are considerably colder. But there's a lot of stuff that we do outside up here as well. You know, I mean, you can, there's a lot of things you can do when there's snow on the ground. There's a lot of things that you can do. Even, say, for example, to, you know, just normal, you know, shoveling snow. The biggest change that has to take place is we have to change how we think and how we feel about things. You know, because if you let the outside world dictate your inner subjective state, then you're a junkie, you're an addict, and you'll live in chronic anxiety. But if you have the benefit of internal support, you can shape your inner state to fit those demands. So if it's, you know, it's like Henry David Thoreau said, you know, wet and cold is as rich in experience as warm and dry. Now, that's an important thing to look at. Now, of course, I know a lot of people, when I bring that up, will say, I'll give you the richness, but I prefer warm and dry. You know, but then if you're wet and cold, it's not the time to crave being warm and dry. It's time to immerse yourself in wet and cold and somehow try and shape your inner state to fit the demands. And a lot of that is just using your creativity, using your imagination. And that's one of the benefits that come with this internal connection, that you're connected to endless possibilities and you can change your thoughts. And in changing your thoughts, you can change how you feel and how you're going to experience whatever it is that you're up against. But the key is to be able to keep yourself in a position of control at all times. You know, because if I need the sunlight and there's no sunlight, You know, now I've just put my focus on something, you know, that's just a want, but I've elevated to a position of importance. And when we do that, if you elevate a want to the position of a need, then it creates this failure force. So a big part of keeping your inner environment functioning like a well-oiled machine is to maintain, you know, your primary relationship with your number one need. And then constantly going to that to help you manage, you know, your thoughts. Does that help?
You know, I think it does. So we basically don't need these extra minerals and vitamins to help us get over if we feel like we're in depression. We just got to find that connection. And if we don't feel that connection, then we have to do what you said earlier, and that is maybe you got to look into the details of your practice.
Well, to answer your question, I mean, you know, if you really examine the yoga prescription, you know, it's skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. All right, now if you're thinking right, if you're breathing right, if you're hydrated, if you have a really well-balanced diet and you're nurturing yourself with good, healthy food, you don't need supplements. You know, so, and if you're exercising right, those are the things that you want to make sure that are in place. I mean, sure, there might be people that don't think right, they don't breathe right, they're not hydrated, and their diet really is deficient, and they're not exercising right. So they, you know, if they took a supplement, it might have some sort of positive effect on them. But you have to remember that we have very different goals and objectives here. The whole intention here is that it's this union of the individual with the divine. We're trying to separate from our dependency on the outside world. And we're trying to get connected to something that's invisible and intangible and internalize it in the body. It's not just about stress management. It's about apotheosis. It's about growing psychologically and spiritually. So again, you know, a lot of times we're not measuring apples to apples, and most of the things that, you know, when I answer a question, I mean, the assumption is that you understand that we are teaching Kriya Yoga, which means that it's a path of action, it's a path of knowledge, it's a path of devotion. And having paying attention to all of these details will give you solution to most of these common problems. But most people don't embrace everything that we're talking about. They modify the suggestions. And then, of course, when it isn't working in the way that they, you know, had expected it to work, then they blame the system. When, in fact, it's not the system that has failed you, it is you have failed the system.
That's very interesting. And as you were talking about that, it reminded me of something that I had read in the Tao book, the Daily Meditations. And in it he says, "You may see the truth, but you will find that people would rather listen to politicians, performers, and charlatans." So not only do I think sometimes we go to, you know, supplements, as we said earlier, for our sense of well-being, but sometimes we go to other sources to help us create what we think might be spiritual advancement.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, and that's one of the things that we always talk about here, that when somebody comes in the door here, for the most part, this just doesn't feel right to them. And that's the physics of spirituality. That's the like attracts like. You know, that humans in the adult state do not feel good to humans in the larvae state. Like attracts like. Misery loves company. And so a lot of times, you know, we, you know, I love that thing that Jackson Brown did in Before the Deluge. You know, with their hands they reach for the golden ring. And their hearts, they turn to each other's heart for refuge. You know, so the hand, the body, you know, I mean the mind, they turn to this concept of God. But their bodies, you know, your body's feeling state, we turn to something that's tangible and visible. And as a result, you know, it's the troubled years that came before the deluge. You know, we're in the realms of suffering and decay. Jesus gave us the solution on a very simplistic level when he said, you must love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. So a big part of desiring this void or this nothing is literally how we find our solution to a lot of these common problems. But, you know, the truth is written, but to go from knowing to doing, you know, and a lot of us want to believe that we don't have to separate from our attachment to the outside world. And we think that we can do it, you know, by maintaining this connection to the outside world without doing that, all the internal work that is required to do that. So the tendency is that you would follow the charlatan. You know, it's like C.S. Lewis said in Screwtape Letters, the devil can tempt. The enemy, the concept of God, can only woo. Because of our pattern, because of the original sin, like attracts like. We're drawn to the outside world. The pull is very strong. That feels comfortable to you. To separate from that is frightening.
Well, that was very interesting. I think we're going to take a moment here to pause and listen to a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will be back with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, this morning on my cell phone, I have the dictionary app, and every day I get a word of the day. And today's word of the day was Pickwickian. So I had to look it up and see what that meant. And it's described as words or ideas meant or understood in a sense different from the apparent or usual one. So what reminded me of that was how I think people think what yoga is. Like they think it's just a sauna, or they have a preconceived notion as to what yoga is, when in actuality they come into Institute for Personal Development and it's something totally different. Would you agree that that's a good sense of the word Pickwickian as far as how it relates to our Kriya Yoga?
Oh, I think so. You know, I've always kind of thought that. Because, you know, a lot of people really don't have a clear definition of yoga. Or they'll use the words, you know, yoga is union of the individual with the divine. But then as far as what does that look like when I'm actually doing it, you know, it doesn't measure up to the way that Patanjali's had laid out these eight essential stages. And, you know, like one of the things that I notice from the onset is this whole thing of brahmacharya. You know, in your first yama, I mean not the first yama, but in the first stage of yoga, yama control, this thing, brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman, is something that isn't addressed. And for the most part, you know, talk about Pickwickian, you know, people think it means to be celibate, when in fact carrier of Brahman means to be connected to this life force, to this indivisible, intangible, unified field, the absolute. And if you don't have that, then of course, you know, your experience of yoga is going to be something very different. And you'll be substituting some intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality. And that's one of the things that we're very clear about. You know, that this isn't magic, that it's all physics. It's like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. But if you don't purify your body, you can't get spirit in. It's not like God doesn't want you to have it some other way. It's there is no other way. You know, that's the physics of it. It's like C.S. Lewis said, you could save a lot of money putting water in your car instead of gas. But of course, your car isn't going to run on water. And the same is true with this human mind-body complex. We're not designed to run off particles and waves. We're designed to run off of this indivisible unified field. But we don't come in with the programming. You know, that's why the word religion means to relink. The word yoga means union. But there's a separation and then this reconnection. But most people, they don't have that definition of yoga in place. And that, again, I think is very different about what we do. We define it differently. We employ the strategies differently. But we get better results.
Is that what the Bible means when it talks about sons of God and sons of man? Sons of God are those who are connected to spirit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, and it was didn't begin with, you know, just the Bible. I mean, that's in Egyptian times and also the labors of Hercules. You know, that Hercules was a son of man and a son of God. You know, that our first birth, you know, I mean, that is basically, you know, we are this concept of a son of man. But then this second birth, you know, when all of a sudden we invoke the life force into the physical body, then you become this son or daughter of God. And, you know, again, that's not just something that you intellectualize. You know, the term that we try and use in our programs is the whole thing of master. You know, there's a difference between learning something and mastering something. You know, there's a difference between buying a fish and learning how to fish. Mm-hmm. And what most of us do is we talk about fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we don't even have a fish or do we know how to fish? We talk about it. You know, I mean, we've created this, you know, sports spectator, you know, that somehow gets the same results as the person that wins the Super Bowl. You know, and we buy into that. But mastery is literally when we go from knowing to doing. When you're able to shape your inner state to fit the demands of the world. And you have this benefit of internal support. And it's one thing when you talk about it, it's a completely different thing when you are doing it.
Well, in our description, we said that we were going to help those maximize their efforts on this last week before the yoga retreat. So what are some words that we can give our listeners to really help them maximize this last week before?
Well, I think the more you understand the design of this 36-week program, you know, that we basically looked at, you know, each sign of the zodiac three times. And, you know, the intention here is to understand the difference between learning and mastering. You know, that it's not just an intellectual accomplishment, you know, but it's something that I am undertaking. It's something that I want to be able to do. and then breaking it down, you know, like we do with regard to each zodiacal sign. You know, like we said, you know, this week coming up, we're going to look at, you know, our physical bodies. We're going to look at our values. Then we're going to look at, you know, the lower mind, and we're going to look at the whole concept of nutrition. Because, you know, each one of these zodiacal signs, they have intention with regard to us being able to overcome obstacles. You know, and based on elements and, you know, the four major obstacles, you know, selfishness, ignorance, laziness, and fear. You know, and you know, on one level we're creating it, on another level we're sustaining it, but then we can also learn how to dissolve it. So going through each one and understanding how I'm creating it, how I'm sustaining it, and how I can dissolve it. Because if you know how you're creating something, it makes it that much easier for you to get rid of it, you know. And then after we go through nutrition, we'll go through recreation, you know, self-expression. We'll look at maintenance, health, work, and service. We'll look at our relationships. You know, what surrounds us is within us. We'll look at the whole thing of transformation, renewal. We'll look at the development of the higher mind. We'll look at our dharma, our duty, our responsibility. You know, it's oftentimes a thing that you don't see in people's life is this sense of purpose. We'll look at our unique talent, and then this whole thing of, you know, this merging of the individual with the divine. But it's a series of kind of like concentric circles, this, you know, dividing and conquering before we can unite and stand. So to maximize, you know, your personal efforts, you know, you have to be engaged in this. You know, mastery isn't something that you can be spoon-fed. You have to figure out, you know, where you are, you know, what your obstructions are, and what do I have to do to get it. You know, as a teacher, I mean, I can give somebody hints in how to do it, but I can't do it for you. And any teacher that tells you that they can do it for you is what I would come under the heading of a charlatan, you know, because that isn't how it works. You know, this is a personal relationship between you and this indivisible unified field. And nobody can do that for you. You have to set everything up in order to make, you know, this happen. Mm-hmm. And so I would think, you know, maybe with that we could probably start closing down the show. What I think I'm going to try and do is have some of our sessions maybe on Powhow while we were away on the retreat. But we, you know, we won't be here next week for a radio show. We'll be here in 2 weeks, where we'll probably go over maybe the aftermath of the spiritual advance. And again, you know, just try and invite everybody to join us, and, you know, on any level, even, you know, any questions or concerns or curiosities you may have. And so with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste, and I'll give it back to you.
Thank you, Swami. So in closing, I would invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. Also available to you listeners are the online classes that you can access through our website. Just click on the On Classes link, and that will direct you to Powhow. And keep a lookout, as Swami said. We're going to try and have some of the sessions that we do in Costa Rica available to you to join in on Powhow. So keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. So we'll see you in 2 weeks from today. And thank you for listening to the program, The Voice of Yoga. I'm Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.